Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
I have a show and tell for all y'all this morning. Do I have a show and tell next? There, excellent. This is something I bet a lot of you either have or are about to see. Later this week or next week. This is that wall of family photos, right? Sometimes it's like on the way down the stairs, sometimes it's in like the hallway, on the way to the bathroom. Sometimes you're so bold as to put it right in the living room, right? But you've got this wall full of family photos, and just like these family photos, you yourself may not even know who all these people are. Right? I have no idea who any of these people are, but this is a lovely picture of some pictures. And I'm going to guess if you are headed to or about to host a family Christmas gathering, you're going to be in the presence of a wall full of family photos that at least somebody does not know those people, right? So this is an assignment for you. Here's your assignment. Sometime in the next 2 weeks, either tell or ideally ask the stories of who those people are. Who are those people that are either like they're a couple generations back or they're a couple of like steps away on the family tree or they're people that you just thought were really attractive and you want guests to think you're related to them. But somebody, it may be you, it may not, somebody knows the stories of those people. And you get to share some of those stories together. Our scripture reading this morning is going to be a family tree. It's going to be 42 and then a few names that you mostly do not know. Because the Bible cares a lot about families and households and the legacy of God's people. And because this is 42 names you don't know and Gene Castor does not know either, I'm going to read this family tree for you because I like Gene. And so as I read, I want to invite us to just reflect together on what it means that Jesus' story is so deeply rooted in the story of God's people. And first, our prayer for illumination. Holy God, our hope and our strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, an account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, the names get worse. Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. This is the word of the Lord. Jean alluded at the very beginning of the service to microphone difficulties. The difficulties with the microphone are that we are losing the radio frequencies that those microphones operate on because there used to be a sort of gap in the big radio frequency spectrum, and our microphones could operate in that gap, but that gap has been taken up now with 5G, and that means that our microphones have just kind of a lifespan on them. The devices themselves, by and large, are working fine, but it's getting clear frequencies for those to operate on. And it just figures, doesn't it? It just figures that right now, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we would, like, we had one channel that was clear, and then we had to go searching for another channel so we could have a second microphone, because that's how it goes, right? Because it may still be the season of Advent, but over on the Hallmark Channel, we are deep into Christmas movie season. And if you know one thing about Christmas movies, you only have to watch one to know how they work, right? Christmas movies are premised on, I'm not saying you can only watch one. You can watch as many as you want. I'm not your employer. But if you know anything about Christmas movies, you know that they are premised on the idea that things go wrong, right? That is how every Christmas movie starts, and like the first two-thirds of it is just things going wrong, right? And now, we're having microphone troubles. Like, there are Christmas movies about flying to France without your youngest child, so things could go more wrong than this, but it is fair to say that not everything has gone smoothly for us over this last year, right? As we are now at the beginning of this season, well, the end of the season of anticipation and just about the beginning of the season of Christmas, and we know that there have been and will be surprises along the way, whether for good or not so good. And we know deep down that those movies actually have a lot to tell us, right? They actually kind of lay out the idea that Christmas is this kind of subtle thing that breaks into our world, and it's usually there before we realize it's there, right? And that's the, I mean, that's the plot of all the movies, isn't it, Lisa? Yeah. That the good news has actually been there before we even realized that it had shown up. It's like if John Lennon were preaching, grace is what happens when you are busy making other plans or adapting to other situations. So we're turning to the Gospel of Matthew today, as we have spent all the fall season into the winter that is now upon us. We've been reading from the Old Testament, and now we've turned to a gospel at the beginning of the New Testament, and we're going to stay in Matthew's gospel all the way up through Easter. And these stories, they don't emerge out of thin air. That's why we've spent all that time in the Old Testament. These stories are rooted really deeply in the stories of God's people down through the years and the generations, and Matthew's gospel is especially explicit about that. And so you will notice again and again this motif of prophecy and fulfillment. This took place in order to fulfill this prophecy. And beyond those explicit references from one part of the Bible to another, you will also notice these really deep parallels and resonances that are going to just make you so glad that you were paying such deep attention all through the fall so that you can recognize these parallels when they come up in Matthew's gospel. Believe me, you're going to be very grateful for that. And all of that starts with today's reading, this genealogy of Jesus, rooting his life deeply in the Old Testament family histories. And this genealogy, it starts all the way back at Abraham with God's promise to make Abraham a great nation. And it moves through Abraham's grandson Jacob and his 12 sons, including Joseph, who saved his brothers by taking them all down to Egypt so that they could be fed, and through the Exodus, that escape from Egypt, and the journey through the wilderness to King David, whose great-grandmother we met just a few weeks ago in the book of Ruth. And from there, from King David, it is the story of the collapse of the kingdom of Israel and decades of exile and then generations of life under foreign empires, even back in the land that God had promised to the people. And finally, down to another Joseph, who was the husband of Jesus' mother. So we have 14 generations and another 14 generations and then 14 generations more than that. And it turns out this has been a step genealogy all along. But Matthew wants us to notice that this genealogy covers these three phases of Israel's history. The history from Abraham to David that sounds like this rise up to glory and triumph, and then this story from David into the exile, and it sounds like this slowly evolving disaster. And then from the exile to the Christ is this wandering in a wilderness that seemed familiar until we returned to it, and the slow building of hope down through those generations. Matthew wants us to know that there is no straight line in this story of redemption. 3 weeks ago, we read these stories from before David, and then later, as David's dynasty was conquered, the prophet Micah wrote during the time when Babylon was capturing Jerusalem and deporting the elites off into the land of Babylon, and he promised a new ruler who would come from little backwater Bethlehem. But first, there would be 70 years of exile as the people learned how to be faithful in a foreign land. The prophet Isaiah promised a time when God's people would be restored to their inheritance and their calling to bless the world. But even at home, under those 14 generations, under empire after empire, now the people are under the power of the Romans, and they can worship God, but they shouldn't make too big a deal out of it. And the genealogy is telling us that story. It's bringing us into that reality, that God's faithfulness through the generations is not a straight line. Jesus' family tree famously includes those five women of a certain reputation: Tamar, Rahab, Bathsheba, who doesn't even get a full name, just the wife of Uriah, Ruth, I jumped over her, and Mary. Three or four of those women are not even Israelite women, which gets at part of Matthew's point about how God's work is going to proceed in the world. And less famously, this family tree includes some flagrantly unfaithful men as well, and some characters, both women and men, who are faithful somehow despite the circumstances that they face. And that all is the good news. That all is the good news, that God is working through our uneven faithfulness and through our unpromising circumstances, that God is working down through those ages, bringing salvation into our world. And that's why we love those movies, isn't it? That's why we love those stories. Not the stories about microphone trouble, but the better ones than that. the stories about how Christmas is created from something that goes wrong, something that is not promising, something that is not the way that we expected things to go. Those stories teach us to practice finding hope in the stories of what doesn't go right. And they ask us where God might be at work, what God might create from this reality that we find ourselves in even today. Because Christmas kicks off with this story, this generational story with these huge ups and downs. And it begins a story that's going to end with Jesus' death, but it won't end there either. This is the story that gives us Jesus. This is the story that gives us life. This is the story that is upon us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Today, we dedicate the Christmas Joy Offering. This special offering supports church workers in financial need and Presbyterian schools and colleges training students of color. You can give to the Christmas Joy Offering using the envelopes in the pew in front of you or right inside your bulletin. In Jesus, God joined with humanity, pointing the way to life. Because being with us is part of God's story, being with others is part of our call. So we support the potential students of color, the potential of students of color who are becoming leaders in our churches and our communities as we seek to come alongside them to encourage and to open doors. And we support church workers and their families who encounter critical financial needs as we come alongside them to assist them. We open doors for them. We thank God for being with us through the gift of Jesus and for joining us together as the church and through our gifts with those who have need. As we tell the story of God, it is a story about the gift of being with. So we give to the Christmas Joy Offering in celebration of God's perfect gift to us. We give because it brings us together to open doors of relief and opportunity, and to relationships that are part of God's story, a part of God's perfect gift to us. Our gifts reflect our generous God. Our gifts support leaders in our church and our world, past, present, and future.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.